I hope everyone can hear me. This is certainly a new experience for me. I would rather be wearing my sunglasses with this beautiful sunshine shining upon my face, but because age is a real factor, your eyes begin to diminish and I can't see. So now I'm concerned about the magnification of the sun through my glasses burning a hole through my face. You know, these are some difficult days that we're dealing with. There's a Bible passage I want you to think about in Romans 11, verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off." We're being challenged very seriously today. Many principles are being battled. The ideas of freedom in our country. We have a right, a First Amendment right, to speak and to not be infringed upon by the government. And yet the government today is doing what it thinks is best. I do not believe we're in a hostile situation where the government is trying to take away our freedoms. I want to make that very well known. I think they are grappling with this issue that is a real issue. But I want us to remember some principles that are always going to be true. Psalm 18:13, the Bible says, "God thunders, and his word is everlasting truth." It says, "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice." Psalm 33 is a comforting psalm that I found relaxing for me yesterday as I was at the depths of what I thought were spiritual despair, contemplating what we would be doing today and wondering what today would look like with the challenges we are facing. I want to stop before I read Psalm 33 and some of these passages, perhaps giving you time to get there in your Bible. But I want you to know it is a beautiful day. I am so encouraged by the cars that are facing me, the people that are inside them, the windows that are down, and you are listening loud and clear and worshiping with the saints. And I haven't been so encouraged in my life. So let me say this. After a night of deep despair and not much sleep as I was bearing this burden of what to say today, you have encouraged me by being here. Listen to Psalm 33 as David, overcoming great trials, King Saul was seeking his life. Listen to the word of David in Psalm 33 in verse 4 and following. "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Today, that's the church, brethren. That passage there in verse 12 is talking about today, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the church of Christ. Listen to verse 13, if you will. "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, though, The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His name, His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. If I've said anything from these passages, the one thing I want you to hear is this. The world is saying a lot of different things right now, but I want to be very clear. Our God has thundered from the very beginning. His word is everlasting truth, and we can trust in it. We can depend upon it, and it will save your soul. I hope that we believe that. This truly is a trying time for elders. I've sat back as a deacon and tried to only encourage where I knew there was difficulty. And so I'm here to offer hopeful encouragement, but at the same time, absolute truth. Truth that will not change. Truth that we will have to contend with all the days of our life if we are honest with the Word of God. I know this, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I'm going to touch on this idea of all churches of the saints that Paul is going to talk about in depth in 1 Corinthians. But just for a moment, the word confusion here, it's defined from the original language as instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, confusion. You'll see in this context of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, our God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order. Paul will finish this chapter thought and say, let all things be done decently and in order. If perhaps you thought these days weren't challenging, I would encourage you to pray deeper and pray a little bit harder for us, the elders, the churches of Christ across the world, who are all struggling to try and maintain this order that God commanded. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Did you see that phrase there, though, back in verse 33, where it says, this is the principle that should apply in all the churches? That's an important phrase, because if you study the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll understand that this indeed is the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, 37, Paul speaks and says, I'm writing, these are the commandments of the Lord. And so if any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual man, let him acknowledge that this book that we're studying from, are the commandments of God. We're grappling over what is and what is not expediency, and how to and how not to violate and keep the will of God all at the same time. 1 Corinthians 4, look at this chapter in verse 17. Paul says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The message here to the Corinthians was not a different message to different churches. Denominationalism does have this wrong. They say you can do different things. The Bible says, no, we do one thing. We do the Lord's will. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, the Bible says this, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Again, the same principle repeated in this book. This is a message that was not unique to the Corinthians. So we come to 1 Corinthians 11, and we've met a great challenge this morning. We've all come together into one place to assemble with the saints, to worship and to sing one to another. And so Paul says here by principle in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, the principle is again for us to be edified by, to understand. And look at verse 16, 1 Corinthians 11, 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You can see how this message is, again, applicable messages to the churches of God, not just at Corinth, that we are to be one. We're to try to strive to do all that we can to glorify our God in unison, in one place, together. And so I commend our elders here for trying to do the best that they can to bring us together, to help us keep the authority, the commandment of God that Paul writes here. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 14, if you were to continue reading through that chapter, and as you come to the close of that chapter where he says, let all things be done decently and in order, he continues in chapter 15 and says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And so we all have to guard our hearts right now. I'll have more to say about that because this is a very trying time, and we want to be respectful of everyone's convictions and concerns, and those who, again, are taking this thing as it should be serious. One of the elders said to me yesterday on the phone, and I was so thankful as I visited with them. He said, we're constantly trying to hit a moving target. A moving target the government is trying to help us keep safe with. I thought that was great wisdom that he emphasized that we're trying to hit that moving target, but we're trying to meet the obligations of God. I've had people tell me, leave it alone, don't say anything. I've got to help you understand where the Bible is. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 if you're still with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12, we're very well aware and respectful to the conviction that we all have. And if there's one thing I've learned in this whole circumstance is that we're all different. Some are a little bit more fired up, so to speak, and some are a little bit more perhaps fearful. But here's one thing I know. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12, there must be first a willing mind. No one can force your conviction. It is a thing that must be willful from your own mind. Another comforting passage so that you don't become overcome with guilt or sorrow during this time. In James 4:17, James reminds us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so, once again, every man must be fully persuaded in his own mind. I want you to notice another principle. Romans 14, very powerful principle, but nonetheless one dealing with difficult circumstances, sometimes called scruples. Romans 14, do you remember where the Apostle Paul here says in verses 5 and following, where he's talking about certain days that they were struggling with, and he says, one man esteemeth one day above another esteemeth every day alike. But look at the last part of verse 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. In an attempt to try to allow every man to be fully persuaded, we must be patient. We must be merciful. We must be kind and respectful to everyone's convictions right now. And so there's no time for people to be rude or disrespectful. I have to tell you something that I thought was a little bit funny, and maybe it'll lighten the heart just a little bit, but just this last week I was in Del Rio, Texas, and I had to go to Walmart. My poor dog needed some medicine, and I thought, I need to go to Walmart and get her some medicine. And so I'm in the line, and I'm standing in protocol, 6 foot apart, and there's a sweet young lady, bless her heart, in front of me, and she wasn't going to give up 12 feet. And so she kept a 12 feet parameter. And so as I'm standing behind her, I'll admit, I'm not a perfect person. I'm struggling with my patience right now, like a lot of you are. And I looked at her and I said, ma'am, and I said it as kind as I could. I said, are you doing the 12 foot parameter? And bless her heart, she didn't say a word to me. But then as we were both allowed to enter into the Walmart, I found this challenging. And I don't mean to make light of her conviction, But this is what was challenging. As soon as we entered into the Walmart where all the shopping carts were and the buggies, there were like 8, 9, 10, 15 people all congregating together trying to figure out which buggy to grab. And so all of a sudden the 12-foot safety zone left her. I didn't crowd her. I didn't try to rub it in. I recognized that we're dealing with difficult times is what I recognized. I tried to go about my business and be as kind as I could. I want you to understand that we are indeed dealing with a time that is difficult, but let me come back to a principle as I must stay on point. We must remember that our Lord has an everlasting truth that will not change. What we read from the Bible will always be with us. In Matthew 24, verse 35, in the midst of great sorrow, an impending situation that would cause death, where Josephus and others tell us that those who were trapped inside Jerusalem in AD 70, 40 years after Jesus will say these words, women would boil their own babies because of starvation and hunger, and thus become cannibalistic because the Roman army would besiege the city of Jerusalem. But Jesus says something there in Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. Do you remember your salvation? Here's an encouraging point in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 22 and following, relative to your salvation. The Apostle Peter reminds us, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Now watch this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is not going to go away. What does that say? It says your salvation is absolute. You can depend upon the word of the Lord. You are saved if you have obeyed from the heart this form of doctrine, Romans 6, verse 17. If you continue here, he quotes from Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, he takes a direct quote from verses 6 through 8 in Isaiah 40, and he says in verses 24 and 25, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want you to remember that the word of our Lord is enduring. It's everlasting. Your salvation is absolutely sure. Mike mentioned in his sermon last Sunday, and I so appreciated him reminding us of this, in Hebrews 12, 28, we are in an unshakable kingdom. Though the world may be in a state of confusion, those outside of Christ are unstable. They're in disorder. They're disturbed in their inner man. I want you to remember, Hebrews 12, 28 says that we have received an unshakable kingdom. I am so comforted by that today. If I've ever been comforted, it is now. Again, we are not in something that is moving. The government may be moving on us, changing on us, but our God is not moving on us. He's right where He's always been. Let me give you a few thoughts as we will try to wind this lesson down. We're no doubt facing a spiritual battle. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, perhaps a spiritual battle like we've never had to face before in our day and age. And it certainly reminds us of this. But in Ephesians 6, verse 11 and following, we are told to be strong in the Lord, to have the whole armor of God on us that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. Now hang on to that idea, the trickery of the devil. We're not wrestling in reality against flesh and blood right now. We're wrestling against, as our president said, a hidden type of thing, a virus we can't see. And it's causing suspicion amongst many people. It's not to be again doubted. It's a real issue. But it's causing great suspicion and paranoia amongst much. Well, I'm reminded of these passages while the Apostle Paul is writing from a Roman prison cell. Listen to what he says. Knowing this very well, we're fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But again, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, as you watch this, and he gives you that list of armament to put on, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Remember, Paul's in prison. And watch what he asked following. Perhaps we forget verses 19 and 20 in this great context. And he says, as for me, or and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Do you see that? Well, it's interesting. While Paul was in prison here in Rome, and he will write the book of Philippians. If you're listening on air and you're listening to the radio broadcast, we've been studying the book of Philippians every Wednesday night, live on the radio from 7 to 8 p.m. Well, it's interesting in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, that the Apostle Paul's prayer request must have been answered, because it says that he had reached the gospel to the household of Caesar. The very ruler of the Roman Empire's household was impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it sounds to me like the Apostle Paul was speaking open, boldly, and he did so as he ought to speak. A few principles here. Remember, the devil is a roaring lion. He's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. I hope this comforts you. It may not, but it comforts me. I'm more afraid of the devil than I am the virus. But I'm not going to be ignorant or insensitive either. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, in that context about the roaring lion that Satan is, remember what verse 10 says. The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Brethren, I find comfort in that passage, that I will be settled, I will be established, that through this trial, God is going to be with us. Don't quit God. Stay with him. Know that Satan is a roaring lion. Another principle, quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. The Apostle Paul was concerned that Satan would get the advantage over the Corinthians. And he uses this phrase, lest the devil get the advantage. Please, don't let this time be a time that Satan gets an advantage over you. Stay vigilant. If you'll continue studying in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, he'll talk about how he's jealous over them with a godly jealousy, as Christ had been espoused to them. They were to be a chaste virgin in Christ, but he was concerned that Satan, through his subtlety, the wiles of the devil, would again deceive them, and they would be allured. And so we need to not let Satan or the devil get the advantage. Keep studying his word. Listen to godly men. Ask questions of people that are, again, established and sound in the faith. And let them help you if you need that help. Finally, Philippians 4, verse 9. The peace that passeth all understanding is contingent upon the principle of doing, of being active. Again, we have to take advantage of this time to make sure we are studying our Bibles. In verse 7 of Philippians 4, that's where Paul mentions the peace that passeth all understanding. But it's in verse 9 that he reminds us. In verse 9 of Philippians 4, he says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do we believe the God of peace will be with us? I do. He's going to be right here with us. Three quick practical points of application I think are important to study during this time. During, again, that period of time that would become the destruction of Jerusalem, when great trial and suffering would take place, loss of life, armies marching in, bloodshed, Jesus will say some things that we should remember. Again, if we're dealing with a difficult time, this is a principle that can comfort us. In Luke 21:19, 40 years after Christ said this, this would take place, and it still stands true in principle today. He said, in the midst of our trials, he says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Patience is steadfastness. Again, stay focused, dedicated, because in that patience you will save your souls. Matthew 24, verses 11 through 13. Same context from Matthew's book. He says, during a time like this, many false prophets would rise up and deceive many people. Be careful who you're listening to. And because of iniquity would abound, that's sin, he goes on to say the love of many would wax cold. You see, the love of many can wax cold if we're not staying focused on the cross, on Christ, on His Word. But then he says in comforting terms, similarly to Luke 21:19, Matthew 24:11 through 13 here, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, how comforting that must have been when those brethren, our brethren in the first century, were facing great trial of persecution to the point of physical death, impending death, by bloodshed, by being martyred to death. You know, we're talking about a virus that's scaring us, that's causing alarm. We should be wise with that. But I want to remind you again of the imperative in Philippians 4, verse 4, to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. My son asked me last night when we were discussing what would take place today, he said, Dad, what if someone wants to come forward? What if someone wants to repent of their sins? What are we supposed to do? And I thought, what an encouraging question from a son that is thinking for himself. And I thought that was very encouraging to me. And maybe you've thought that. Well, what do we do? Well, here's what I said to Jaden. I said, son, I hope that they'll come forward because I want to do the right thing and I want to help you. We baptized a young lady 3 weeks ago who responded to the invitation. And guess what? To this day, we're still studying daily. I don't want you to think we're not still studying and we're still working. We're working very hard. I can guarantee you your eldership is working very hard and diligently trying to sort this all out. And I'm so thankful. I love them. I love every one of them. And I've heard tremendous things out of them, and they love you. But if you're here and you need to come forward, then you're welcome to come forward, and we'll take care of that because we're going to obey God, and we're going to do what's right. And if you need the prayers of the congregation, then we want to help you with that. But perhaps one's here that knows they need to obey the gospel. They need to repent of their sins, confess the name of Christ publicly. You can do that. We're here. And be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then we can make that happen as well. So we're going to now sing the invitation song, and Brother Chad Shirtle is going to lead us in that song. And if you need to come, then why don't you let us know right now as we sing this song.